It's Fire Away Friday. On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword. It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
It is indeed Fire Away Friday. I'm Jim Stanley in for Brother Bert Harper today. Pardon me. And Alex, as I understand it, by the way, joining me is Dr. Alex McFarland. You can find all things about Alex McFarland at alexmcfarland.com. That's alexmcfarland.com. But Alex, I understand you and Bert were on a fishing trip this week.
Well, close. The Fish Bowl Retreat. Now, it would be great to go on a fishing trip. Fishing is something I grew up doing, Jim. But, hey, it's great to be with everybody on this edition of Fire Away Friday on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, we'll take your Bible questions all the hour. If you want to call in, it's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And Jim, let me say it's great to have you with us. We just appreciate you so much. And but before we get into the calls and the questions, I got to give a big shout out to Bert and Jan and American Family Association. This week at Pickwick Landing in Tennessee was the Fish Bowl Retreat, and there were pastors from all over America, their wives. We just had the best time. And, you know, Jim, I was there to speak and hopefully encourage pastors, and we talked about biblical worldview. But I want to tell you, it was me that got the blessing. Angie and I, we left yesterday after being there 3 days, and man, my heart was just overflowing to hear what God is doing in churches all over America. One pastor, this is just an example, but we interviewed a pastor that they are helping resurrect struggling churches. And in addition to the own church they're pastoring, they have saved 7 churches and leading people to Christ. So many stories I could tell you, but Fishbowl 2025 was a resounding success and a blessing to all involved, myself included.
Amen. Well, I know Bert looks forward to that every year, and I'm glad that you were there this year. I know the folks got a blessing out of that. And so that's a good report. We appreciate you sharing that. By the way, folks, the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And Alex, as the phone calls are coming in and the questions are getting loaded in there, I have a question from the email, if you don't mind. And this is from Sharon. And it says that recently you and Bert were talking about being careful about what you pray out loud, you know, because the devil hears us, the demons hear us. Obviously, he's not omniscient, so he can't read our minds. But what type of prayers should Christians avoid praying out loud?
That is a great question. That's a great question. Because, you know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says that Satan stalks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And let me just say this, just because someone gets saved and is born again, that doesn't mean that the devil is going to leave you alone. You know, I think throughout the life of a Christian, Satan will try to discourage us and harass us as much as he can. But let me say this, Satan, as I understand scripture and spiritual warfare, Satan cannot read our mind, but Satan is a very keen observer, and I want to use this word carefully, Jim, and you feel free to agree or disagree, but with our mouth, you know, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, right? If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Lord, but people with their mouth can also confess negative and detrimental things. So, for instance, I never would want to say out loud, you know, let's say somebody's praying and like, Lord, please be with me as I go minister in the inner city of, you know, Chicago, because I'm very afraid. And Lord, I'm going to be down there at 3 o'clock and such and such. And I'm a very dangerous place that I'm going unassisted. I mean, here's the thing. While a Christian is indwelt with the Holy Spirit and is sealed and protected, Satan has operatives that are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we need to necessarily say out loud everything that's on our heart or every plan we're going to make, because the wicked one, John 10:10 says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so I'm not paranoid and I'm not afraid.
Right.
But I do try to be judicious in what I vocalize out loud and what I keep in my own heart between myself and God.
Well, and we have to be. You know, you don't want to give the devil your game plan, but you certainly do want to be prayed up when you go in those types of situations. And I have found over the years, one of the prayers that I use more often than giving exacts is I give the exacts to the Lord. But if someone asks me to pray over them or asks me to do this for them, I try to be careful that we pray for what they've asked for, but we also pray that they be like Jesus in that situation. Mm-hmm. You know, that we would have the mind of Christ and that we would do the will of God. And when we do that, we don't give Satan a lot of room to work with, because he can't overcome God. He can't overcome what God has planned for us.
Amen. Amen. Right. And folks, be confident you are victorious in Jesus, but at the same time, be mindful of the fact that until we get to heaven, we're in a fallen world of spiritual warfare.
That's right. Well, Alex, the phone lines have filled up pretty quickly, so let's talk to Sharon calling from Mississippi. Sharon, good afternoon. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking my call. How are y'all today?
Blessed. Glad to have
you. Good. Yeah. So my question is between kind of the story of Job and Saul. I know that in the story of Job, God allowed Satan like so much leeway with Job without taking his life. But then in Saul, when God removed his presence from him, and it says that he like took on an evil spirit, not word for word, but so did God put the evil spirit on him, or just because he removed his presence from him, it allowed it?
That is a great question. That is a great question. And this is 1 Samuel chapter 16. It says, the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. And I think one of the keys is, and Jim, you feel free to jump in, from the Lord. And somebody might ask the question, oh my goodness, does God have, quote, evil spirits or demons that work for him? Well, Satan and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven, and the demons are... they're enemies of God. However, whether they even know it or not, they can only do what God allows. And the fact was, King Saul, this is not Saul of Tarsus who became the Apostle Paul, that's in the book of Acts. This is in the Old Testament. Saul had so rejected God and so willfully turned to sin, tried to kill young David, I mean, and consulted with the witch of Endor. I mean, Saul was far afield of God's perfect will. And it says in 1 Samuel 16:14 that the Spirit of God departed from Saul. And it was so many compounded acts of disobedience and unbelief. Mm. The Holy Spirit was gone, and that opened Saul up to the influence of a demon, really. Now, that evil, it wasn't, demons were not God's will. Satan's rebellion was not God's plan. However, every angel, every element, everything in the universe ultimately bows to the will of God and the sovereign power of God. And Jim, I'm going to say this, I'll throw it to you. Whether it be King Saul of the Old Testament or modern people today, if you are not indwelt with and following the Holy Spirit, You're going to make yourself vulnerable to unholy spirits. It happened to Saul. It could happen to people today.
It absolutely can. You know, between here in Memphis, Tennessee, on what's now I-22, there is a psychic that's you can see from the highway.
Mm.
And while you were talking about this, it made me think about the difference between a prophet and a psychic.
Mm.
A prophet comes to you with the word of God. A psychic comes to you with confusion because they have to ask all these different questions before they can even tell you what it is they're supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, every anytime we pass that place, I never saw that person out on the side of 22 trying to flag me down because they had some word for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so, and by the way, Tupelo, Mississippi, now has its own psychic office that's open for business. And you want to talk about praying about something? There's something Tupelo needs to be praying about to pray that out, because we don't need there's enough bad spirits going on here. We don't need any extra help. So, man, that was good stuff there. And, Sharon, we appreciate your question this afternoon and hope you have a great weekend. Going to talk to Brent now. And, Brent, I believe you're calling from New Mexico.
That is correct.
Welcome aboard. How can we help?
Well, you know, I've studied the Bible for years, but I've always had a difficulty on discerning what prophecies were supposedly for the children of Israel during the Old Testament time versus the world events that you see in the New Testament. And I was wondering if there was a easier way to determine how to tell the difference between the two.
Well, Brent,
I know there are some. Okay, sorry.
No, you're fine. Brent, you have absolutely called the right place, because my friend Dr. Alex McFarland, that is one of his specialties.
Wow. Well, God bless you. I'm very thankful we have listeners in New Mexico. That is one of the most beautiful parts of America, and I've been in a few places in New Mexico to speak and travel, and you're in some beautiful country, my friend. But Bible prophecy, there are, you know, the Bible writes history in advance because God is the author of the Bible, and there are some prophecies or predictions that are unique to the nation of Israel. In fact, Jim, Bird and I write about this in this brand new book that we just released called 100 Bible Questions on Prophecy and the End Times. So let's talk about prophecies about Israel, prophecies about the church, and even prophecies about individual believers. For example, individual believers have things that are very personal in nature, like if you're a born-again Christian, you've trusted the Lord as your Savior, well, He will never leave you or forsake you. He will give you wisdom, James 1, verse 5. He knows what you need even before you ask, Matthew 6, 8. But there are prophecies like unique to the nation of Israel, like God said that in the last days He would bring them back to their land. He would gather them from the four winds. And also, I would say this, that God promised Israel that there would be a day when ultimately all of the living Jews in the world would simultaneously be in their land plus believing in Messiah.
Mm.
Now,
hey,
we've got to take a break.
Yep.
So let's, yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I wasn't sure if you heard the music or not. Alex, hold on to that, and we'll come back and let you break it down a little more.
Okay.
For Brent from New Mexico. Folks, you're listening to Fire Away Friday with Exploring the Word right here on American Family Radio.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only options, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hours, loving them, helping them choose life, and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250, baby. Or give online at preborn/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Everybody's been down, hit the bottom, hit the ground. Ooh, you're not alone. Just take a breath, don't forget, hang on to his promises. He wants you to know you're an overcomer.
Amen. We are overcomers in Jesus Christ. Blessings to you one and all. This is Fire Away Friday. And we're going to resume with the calls. By the way, the number, if you have a Bible question, it's 888-589-8840. With me in the studio, Jim Stanley, the great Jim Stanley. And, hey, before the break, we had a call from New Mexico, Brent. Can we pick up on that again, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brent, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. We were talking, your question was about promises to Israel versus like promises to the church. So what I was saying, and I'll be somewhat brief about this, but for example, as a Christian, you know, God will never call on you, fellow Christians, to go fight some Canaanites or some Amorites, because God gave the land of Israel to the nation of Israel. Now, what's very interesting is that God's word, some promises to, there's ethnic Israel and there's national Israel. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, you're a part of spiritual Israel. Galatians 6:16 says, blessed be the Israel of God. But folks, please listen carefully, and we could do a whole show on this. Israel still, ethnic Jews and national Israel still have great promises from God. And I want to say in no uncertain terms, the church, the body of born-again believers, has not somehow, quote, replaced Israel. Paul addresses this in Romans 3:3 and Romans 11, and many other scriptures as well, that God's covenant to Abraham, that they would become a great nation, that through Abraham the Messiah would come, that's Jesus, but also that one day Jews would fully occupy their land in a state of belief. Mm. God's covenant promise to national Israel is forever and is unbreakable. And I would encourage people to read Jeremiah 31, 34 through 36, Romans 11, 28 through 32, because the fact that Jesus died 2,000 years ago, and it was my sins, this sinful Gentile, Alex McFarland's sins put him on the cross, the whole wide world. And so somehow the crucifixion of Christ, people think that nullified the Abrahamic covenant. I disagree. Now, this is amazing. In Isaiah 66, 8 through 10, which was written 750 BC, God says that he would restore the nation of Israel in one day. That happened May 14, 1948. God promised in Isaiah 11 that the Jews would return to Israel from all over the earth. That was a prophecy. They would come from north and south. Now, and by the way, it says in Ezekiel 36 that when God restores Israel, it will be more fruitful and more prosperous than at any time in history. And that's true to this present moment. One last thing, and I could say so much. Folks, you got to get the brand new book Bert and I wrote on Bible prophecy, published by Broad Street. But here's the thing, Jim, this will amaze you. The Bible says that in the last days, God would use Gentiles to bless the nation of Israel. And we have seen that. By the way, three people besides Jews, like Herzog, and there was Chaim Weizmann and David Ben-Gurion. They were Jewish. But then there was Arthur Balfour, Winston Churchill, and Harry Truman. Three Gentiles helped Israel be reborn. Mm. Right now, today, our president, Donald J. Trump, is the greatest American president in terms of being a friend to Israel. And that's a prophecy that in the last times, this is really in Romans 11:11-27, that God would bless Israel in the last days through the Gentiles. So I wish I could remember the name of Herzog, the Jew, but here's my point, Jim, that God's prophecies always come true. And some are to Israel, some are to the church, and many are to we believers individually. But God's word is trustworthy, and we can depend on it.
Absolutely. It is the one thing that you can depend on every day at any given time. Brent, thanks for calling. Have a great weekend. I'm going to talk to Olin calling now from Texas. Olin, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, I've got two questions. I'm reading the difference between atonement and redemption. I think I know the answer. And my other question is, in the book of James, it says don't hang around a certain kind of people. I can't remember the exact saying, but I hope y'all can give me some insight on that. Thank you.
All right. And what was the first word?
Atonement.
Oh, atonement. Oh, okay, of course. Do you want to start with that, Jim, or you want me to?
No, brother, you can go ahead.
Well, you know, atonement means the payment of a debt or the canceling out of a debt. And when Jesus died on the cross, and you remember the sky became dark and the earth quaked and the rocks rent and the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Well, what happened on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago was the appropriate measure of God's wrath that we deserved was put on Jesus. And he suffered on that cross, and our sin debt was paid. Human sin was atoned for. Now, that forgiveness is appropriated to us when we put our faith in Jesus. Now, just because Jesus paid our sin debt doesn't mean it's just automatically conferred. We have to accept and believe. And I'll put it this way, Jim. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection makes salvation possible.
Mm.
Our response to that free gift makes salvation actual.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's Christian birth when we put our faith in Jesus. But then there's Christian growth. You know, we are like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. That's really sanctification, the process of becoming more and more conformed to the image of Christ. But the atonement speaks to the fact that on the cross, Jesus, God incarnate, paid our sin debt.
Amen. You know, that's exactly what I was going to say. That's why I let you answer that question.
Amen.
So,
well, you know, it's a precious thing, isn't it? And I love music. Oh, my goodness. Jim, if I'm awake, I'm probably thinking of a song.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one that says, Jesus paid it all. Mm-hmm. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Amen.
And, so many of the great songs deal with that precious reality of Christ's atonement.
Sure does. Well, Olin, thank you for the call. Let's talk to Jeff now, calling from Ohio. Jeff, good afternoon. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, gentlemen. I'm a believer, and I have some friends and family that are not believers, and I was looking for some quick and easy read books that you would recommend that I could give to them.
God bless you. God bless you. Let me encourage you. Go to the Billy Graham website. Now, there's a lot we could say, but there's two things. For one, Billy Graham has a little booklet called Peace with God. Sometimes the title on it says Steps to Peace with God. Mm-hmm. Just a very little book. And many, many years ago, I just so wanted to be able to lead people to Christ. And I was so awkward and just very unsure of how to talk to people about Jesus. And I just about memorized the little Billy Graham booklet, Steps to Peace with God. The other thing I would encourage you to do, and you can find this as a free PDF, and folks, I cannot overstate how good this book is. It's called the Billy Graham Christian Workers Handbook. It's what it's called, the Billy Graham Christian Workers Handbook. Now, you ought to buy it. It's a great little book. I found out they've got it as a free downloadable PDF, and you could download it and print it out. But there, Jim, there's so much in there about how to have assurance of your own salvation, how to share the gospel with others and lead people to Christ, but then just an A to Z of what the Bible says about a lot of issues. And I, in personal evangelism, I just don't think I could recommend anything better than the work of Billy Graham. But, Jim, certainly you have some favorites too, I'm sure.
Well, there are a couple out there that I like, but I think if you go to the Billy Graham website there, it can answer so many other questions that you might have while you're there. That's one of the great things about that website and the products that they have. And I certainly could not outdo Billy Graham. Jeff, one thing I would caution you about, and I say this from life experience, so hear my heart, not just my words. Be careful. I want you to witness to your family, and I want you to witness to your friends. But sometimes when we go about trying to give somebody a book, it's like we have already judged them and found them to be sinners, whether they are or not, whether they've repented or not. So we have to be careful, especially with family. We certainly don't want to appear arrogant or something more than we ought not there. So live Jesus every day. You be the witness. And then use the book as a backup. But you be Jesus to them day in and day out. And I think that they would find that a book worth reading as well.
Wow.
And so I would throw that caution out there. Bless you in your journey. And I believe it's BEGA.com. BEGA.com. Or no, BGEA. Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, .com or .org. You'll be able to find some of those resources there. And next time I go to quote a website, I'll be sure and have that in front of me too. All right, let's talk to Tom now, calling from Tennessee. Tom, good afternoon. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You've got a great program. And I've got, you take your pick of either one of these questions. One is, can you recommend a book or two that would explain dispensational doctrine clearly and also give a fair presentation of the other views to help me make up my mind? And the other question is, the Bible says that Christians are grafted into Israel, but then a lot of times I hear people talking about it, and it almost sounds like we're grafted in now, but then when the end time event, like maybe the rapture or whatever, at some point we're going to be ungrafted and Israel's going to kind of be on its own, and those promises don't apply to us. So can you help me over that, whatever I'm misunderstanding about that?
Hey, Tom, I would encourage you to listen to the podcast this evening or sometime and hear some of what Alex said earlier. But Alex, on those topics there, what can we do to be clearer about that? How can we as Christians present that to be clearer so that we're not giving the confusion? Because the devil loves confusion.
He really does. And let me be very clear that all true Christians, regardless of what denomination or what theological system maybe somebody has kind of gotten on board with, we all believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose again, the Son of God gave his life, and we are saved through faith in him. And so I want to be very clear, the points of orthodoxy on which we all agree, the atonement by the blood of Jesus, the tomb is empty, keep your eyes on the eastern sky, Christ is coming back, and dispensational, non-dispensational, covenant, Calvinist, Arminian, we all agree on these things. And there's far, far, far more that unites us than divides us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, and this is so appropriate. Oh, my goodness. Today is October 31. And let me tell you what day it is, folks. It's Reformation Day. It was on this day in 1517 And we are riding on the ripple effect of Martin Luther. He nailed a document to the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. Salvation is by faith, not works. And the gospel spread throughout Europe. And here we are. We are really today, everything happening is going on in response to some courageous obedience 500 years ago plus. Now, with that being said, Jim, in the aftermath of the Reformation, really within the next 250 years after, you know, in the Netherlands, you had Menno Simons starting what would become the Baptist Church, and you've got Lutheranism, and then in Geneva, Switzerland, and in Scotland, you had John Calvin and John Knox, you know, pioneers of what would become the Presbyterian Church, and in England, you had the Wesleys and Wesleyanism and the Methodist Church. And so you've got these different groups that God used mightily and uses to this day. But here's my point, and this is a little bit why I don't get all upset about dispensational or non-dispensational, although I would unapologetically call myself a dispensationalist, because it's the Greek word for economy, oikonomai, that God works in different eras. Let me just say this, Jim. There's the New Covenant and the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant, God told Israel, in faith, look toward the Messiah that would come. Mm-hmm. Now, in faith, we're under the New Covenant. We look back at the Messiah that did come, and we are born again, made alive through faith in Jesus. So even the most ardent non-dispensationalist has to agree that at different periods of history, God worked with people in different ways, pre-Calvary, post-Calvary. Now, that being said, well, let's take a brief break. I'm going to come back, and I'll button this down, I promise. But for this point so far, we all agree in Jesus.
Amen.
I'll tell you about some differences after the break. How about that, Jim?
Sounds good. Folks, this is Fire Away Friday here on Exploring the Word. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and we appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Brother Bert needed an extra day off. Alex showed up for work, but Brother Bert didn't. We'll figure that out. No, not really. The guys had the fishbowl retreat this week, and there they ministered to pastors and pastors' wives from across the country, and I know that's always a special time. Alex, you know, before we get back to the question, and I do want to get back to it, you had mentioned earlier that you wanted to chat about some things that you had coming up, and I remind folks they can visit alexmcfarland.com. That's alexmcfarland.com, and they can see your schedule. They can find information on how to bring you to them. They can also find some resources that you have available there. And so what are some things you'd like to highlight? Because I know you've always got something.
Well,
and I mean that in a good way.
Oh, we've had a great year. Man, 7 summer youth camps, and we did 5 conferences this summer, including hosting Charlie Kirk for just a little over 2 weeks before he passed away. And God is so good. Just this past weekend, I was in Somerset, Pennsylvania, Pastor Roy Burkett and Living Hope Christian Church, and it was just great. But coming up Wednesday, I'll be in Rochelle, Georgia. Then next, a week from today, I'll be at Fort Caswell on the North Carolina coast with, I'm told, 900 teenagers. And so please keep that in prayer. But my travel schedule is at alexmcfarland.com. I'm always in a church or a city somewhere. And let me just say to everybody listening in your church, I am so committed to revival in America that I've never really solicited for speaking engagements because they just come. But Jim, we have got what I call the event preparation manual, 25 years of doing conferences, crusades, and it's just a free book that I wrote on how to get a prayer committee together, how to get multiple churches together. And if you want to do an event in your city in 26 or even 27, Jim, twice this year, once down near Birmingham and just this past month near Jackson, Mississippi, we had citywide crusades. But we need a revival in America, and wherever you are, if you want to have a citywide revival, we might can help you do that, whether I'm the evangelist or whomever. But email us, and I'll send you our event preparation manual, how you and the churches of your city can link arms, you can pray, and the power of God will move in your city. And we certainly do need it, don't we, Jim?
We absolutely do. And folks, I've known Alex, goodness, a long time. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
But you know, I've never seen him refuse a church because it may be quote unquote too small. He encourages you to get a couple of churches together, maybe. Yeah. But it's one of those things that you've heard and we've said it a lot on here. Alex Burt, myself, we'll preach at a drop of a hat, and sometimes we'll drop the hat.
Yeah.
So
amen.
You know, when I encourage you to bring Alex to your community, I do that with a very sincere belief that if he can minister to you, he absolutely will. And if he can find time in his calendar, he will. And like he said, go ahead and get lined up for 26 or 27, should the Lord tarry. It's never too early to start planning. I can promise you that. And so I encourage you again, alexmcfarland.com. Alex, let's go back to the question there that we were talking about just before the break.
Yeah. In the aftermath of the Reformation, as the gospel spread throughout Europe and then came across to the colonies in the 1700s, you know, ministers and thinkers begin to try to systematize, okay, what do we believe about the return of Christ? And what do we believe about salvation and election? And you've got to understand, this is huge. This was prior to May 14, 1948, and the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And there emerged several systems, and we're not going to go all into them, but essentially the Colorado has some book recommendations. Let me encourage you to Google a couple of books. One is by Charles Ryrie, and it's simply called Dispensationalism. Another is by Clarence Larkin, L-A-R-K-I-N. This is a great book. It's an older book, but it's in print. Clarence Larkin, Dispensational Truth. And basically what dispensationalism says is, throughout history, there's been one plan of salvation, Jesus, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross. But God has worked, and what he's doing from in the Garden of Eden, he promised Adam and Eve that he would send the Messiah. He called forth Abraham. He raised up Israel. He said that Messiah would come, and Jesus did. And then Jesus is going to come again and establish his kingdom on earth. Now, here's the point that I'm getting at is that whether it be covenant theology, dispensational theology, you know, reformed, replacement theology, which I disagree with. I do not think the church replaced Israel. I think the covenant promises to the seed of Abraham are still in effect, but that doesn't negate the reality of the church. I want to say this, folks, regardless of what camp you land in, let's remember that 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Mm.
We're family. We're family. No matter where you are theologically, let's not be cocky about the camp we're in. Let's not be condescending about those in some different camps. Although, Jim, look, I'm a preacher. I got an opinion on everything. But the thing that we need to have a high opinion of is unity in the body of Christ. Am I right?
Absolutely. That's something that we strive for, that we need to strive for, and strive for even more every day. So, man, that's great. Thanks for that answer, and thanks for the question. And let's talk to Donna now, calling from Oklahoma. Donna, welcome to Exploring the Word. Hello, Donna.
I called earlier this week about my two brother-in-laws, Fonnie and Donnie. Donnie is some better, but Fonnie is not. They did a CT today. They're going to have to go back in and do more surgery. And this will be a month now for a messed up colonoscopy.
Hmm.
I want you to pray for him, but I have had a question last week, and I was the last caller and didn't get to ask it. Were Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel eunuchs?
All right. Donna, that's certainly an interesting question. And Alex, that, you know, there's a lot of different information out there about that. You know, some say it's because he was a court official and that they may not have been eunuchs in the sense that they were castrated, but that they were in service in the king's court. There are some other things that are out there, but this could be one of those quote unquote opinion questions.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think about that? I mean, because it caught me off guard, I'll be honest with you. And so I did some quick research on it and found, you know, some scripture there in Daniel, the first chapter, 3-7, that it talked about they were under the charge of the chief of eunuchs. And so, you know, tell us what you think, brother.
Yeah, I don't know that it definitively says, just because maybe the warden or the overseer of these Hebrew prisoners might have been a eunuch himself, it doesn't necessarily say that all of the people under his charge were. So I don't know. And I don't know that we can get a definitive word on that from the scripture. I think the big takeaway from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was that they were so brave in their stand for their belief in God, but they were willing to get thrown in the fiery furnace for it. And there was a fourth man in the fire, the Son of God, who spared their life. But I just don't know that there's enough in the Bible that we could definitively say, Jim.
I agree with that. By the way, you were talking about music earlier.
Yeah.
And that fourth man in the fire, that's an old Southern gospel song, and it still rings true today.
They didn't bow, they wouldn't bend, didn't burn. Is that the song?
That's the one, brother.
You know, I love Southern gospel music. At least a couple times a year, man, that I just get a bug to listen to a lot of Southern gospel. Do you?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one thing about Amazon Music, Spotify Music, and I think there are some other music carriers out there as well, that you can pretty much build your own playlist of what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And it will do, you know, it'll play that for you. There's a lot of garbage out there, too. But if you're putting together your own playlist, you can kind of pick out the pick of the litter, if you will. Well, let's talk to Cindy calling from Kansas. Cindy, good afternoon, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and I try to listen to you every day, and you help so many people. I hope you can give me a good word here.
God bless you.
I have some grandkids. They're young. They're 19 to 25, and there's a podcaster out now. I hope I get his name right. I think it's Nick Fuentes, and he's got an awful lot of followers, and he is telling people that the Jews are no longer the chosen, that the Holocaust really didn't happen, and things like that, and they're not taught in school anymore like we were taught. I'm in my 70s, I want to know how to go about all of this in trying to school them that this person isn't telling the facts. And that's my question. And I'll hang up and turn the radio back up and listen to you.
All right. Thank you. Alex?
Yeah, I'm hearing his name more and more, and I don't know everything about him. And so I'm saying this with a little bit of, you know, hesitancy because, you know, it's only, I'm going to say, in the last couple of weeks that I've just begun to hear his name over and over and over. So I can't definitively speak. But let me say this. Over the last, really, I'm going to say year, I've been hearing more and more of people that are otherwise conservatives and even sometimes Christians that speak disparagingly of the Jewish people and also say that, you know, America should not support Israel and certainly Christians shouldn't. And I think, although I could stand to be corrected and, you know, anybody can correct me if I'm speaking wrong, it seems like Nick Fuentes is in the camp, along with more recently people like Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson. And listen, I've years ago I interviewed Candace Owens many years ago and was on a Tucker Carlson show a long, long time ago. But yet I've been hearing more and more people who are in the conservative and or Christian conservative camps, and they'll say things that indicate the modern state of Israel means nothing, that the modern Jewish people are not related to the biblical Jews, and all these things I disagree with, whether it be Nick Fuentes or whomever. Now, let me just say this, that God told Abraham, I will build with you an everlasting covenant, seed, soil, and Savior. You're going to have more descendants than the stars of the heaven. Everywhere your foot treads, I'm going to give you that land. Through you, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Now, here's the thing. In Romans 3:3 and Romans 11, Paul says, shall Israel's unbelief make the promises of God to no effect? Heaven forbid. So just because Jesus died on the cross, and I want to say categorically, and again, this is so perfect on October 31, that we're saying this, categorically, true Christians would never say that the Jews were Christ killers. I know Martin Luther, in the end of his life, when he probably had dementia, Luther said some horribly anti-Semitic things, and people like Adolf Hitler ran with it, sadly. So while we're all indebted to Martin Luther, at the very same time, we don't uncritically agree with everything Luther ever said or did or wrote. And what Luther wrote in the end of his life, being critical of the Jews, I categorically, unequivocally reject and condemn. And so, Jim, let me say this. I was on two or three shows with the Jewish Federation of North America. Folks, listen. Every Jew on the planet is related to either Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, or Leah.
Mm.
They are. And when people say to me, the land of Israel does not belong to the Israelites. Well, for goodness sakes, who does it belong to then?
Right.
Not us Gentiles. Folks, we should support Israel for many reasons, political, moral, and spiritual. The modern Jews absolutely are the Jewish people. There is no ethnicity on earth that has been as meticulous and careful documenting their family lineages back thousands of years. And the death of Jesus 2,000 years ago in no way nullified the covenant promises God made to the children of Israel. So please don't be misled. Please, Psalm 122, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Christians, Americans, citizens, believers, we must and we shall stand with Israel.
Absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. That's Dr. Alex McFarland. I'm Jim Stanley. Alex, we were talking about the fourth man in the fire there a minute ago.
Yep.
And that is music from the Statler Brothers. And, you know, it
love the Statler Brothers.
They are awesome. So the lyrics were, they wouldn't bend, they held on to the will of God, so we are told. They wouldn't bow. They would not bow their knees to the idol made of gold. They wouldn't burn. They were protected by the fourth man in the fire. They wouldn't bend. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't burn. That's good stuff for the weekend, isn't it?
Amen, amen. And you know that fourth man in the fire, like unto the Son of God, he is the Son of God, Jesus, and he's as close by as a prayer.
Amen. Folks, thank you for joining us today, and I encourage you to go to AFR.net and listen to the podcast for some of the programs you may have missed or that you want to hear again. Alex, you and Bert are back in next week.
Yes, sir. And folks, be in church on Sunday. Bring somebody into the sound of the gospel. Find a good church and be in your place in the house of God on Sunday. Blessings to you all.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.